Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Right, it's 22 minutes past four. It is a Thursday afternoon. And on a Thursday afternoon, we get an update on what's happening at the Kotel with Avi K. Avi, afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you. From a very, very hot Cape Town. How's the weather like where you are?
It's very overcast and muggy. It looks like it should rain. I don't know if it's going to rain this afternoon. But it is winter, and I suppose that's expected.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, I suppose as you go from the Northern Hemisphere to the Southern Hemisphere, how the temperatures and the weather are completely opposite. Anyway, tell us what's happening at the Kotel.
So as we've been building up towards this time for the last couple of weeks, the Kotel didn't disappoint and is not disappointing at the moment. When I arrived there yesterday, there was such a festive mood, such a sense of anticipation, so many people from all over the country. I was hearing a lot more English than I usually do in the last couple of months at the Kotel. And people were just packing in to really enjoy the first night of Hanukkah. Unfortunately, it's really tinged with a bittersweet edge because the first light was lit by families of hostages. They sent a representative, two or three families, and they lit the first candle. But be that as it may, as the chief rabbi of Jerusalem said, is that our hearts are broken, but our resolve is absolute. And that's really what it was all about. As the music played and the choir sang, people were dancing in the courtyard, the lights were flickering. The way it works, just to paint the picture for everybody, is if you can, in your mind's eye, turn your back to the Kotel. There's a building at the back that faces the Kotel. And on top of that building, that's where they actually do the first lighting. It's a massive gas light that goes up. So last night, you had one light and then the middle candelabra light, which was lit. And then everybody comes down to the Kotel itself. And right on the boundary between the men's side and the women's side, there's a beautiful elaborate candelabra there. And that's lit yet once again. And it was ended, the ceremony ended off yesterday with the song of unity, that all brothers are one together as a Jewish nation, with the pictures of the hostages being held up. But it was very, very festive. And you could hear the different songs echoing from the different institutions behind as the choir was singing and the band was playing by the Kotel. So there was music coming from elsewhere. And there was just this beautiful sense of people being happy, people coming from all over the country. And just to fast forward, I caught the last train out of Jerusalem, out of Yerushalayim, coming home. And across from me were two older ladies. And they were sitting there like little children on their phones, watching the videos that they had recorded during the ceremony. So they'd obviously come in from somewhere else just to come to the Kotel to enjoy the first night of Hanukkah. And as I meandered out of the old city, I usually come in through the same road where my son Eddie was murdered, and I stopped there for a few moments. I went specifically through the Jewish quarter this time on my way out just to observe all the Hanukkah menorahs, the Hanukkah candelabras that are lit outside people's homes. They have these glass cases and the menorahs are lit inside them. And, you know, you walk past and there's two or three there and there's some students sitting outside discussing different topics, as is customary that one should sit and watch the candles as they burn. And then some outside family homes, some outside different yeshivot, places of higher Torah learning. And some people bought a couch out and they were really just enjoying being outside, even though it was a little bit nippy, but there was a great sense of festivity. And I walked through the old city, you know, seeing groups of boys and girls from different organizations, really just having a wonderful time. I had a bit of nostalgia at the Kotel. There was a group from Nigeria. I think they thought they hit the jackpot. This doesn't happen every night, but they were from Nigeria, Lagos University, and they were there in their beautiful traditional dress, and they were walking around enjoying the spectacle. And really, the Kotel was just, you know, really bathed in the sense of joy and happiness. But as the custom is, people came for the ceremonial lighting, and then everybody went home thereafter to light at home or wherever they were staying. And things got very, very quiet very, very quickly. But there was just a tremendous sense of excitement and a sense that Chanukah is here, because just on the other side of the wall is where the miracle happened. A couple of meters from where we were praying last night and lighting last night is where the Greek army at the time, you know, desecrated the temple, and no oil was found to rekindle the candelabra once that was done. And the miracle was that one vial, one small bottle of oil was found, enough for one day, and it lasted the 8 days that it took to make new oil. And where I feel so connected is at the top part of Modi Inn. There's an area that all of a sudden is just felt, which should be built up. But what we understand is that as they were starting to develop the area, they found many, many olive presses where oil was made for the temple. And therefore, this was a historical site and couldn't be developed. So oil was made round about where I live in Modi Inn, which is the home of the Maccabees, and then taken up to Jerusalem, up to the mountain, and lit over there. So for me, it's just amazing to be able to be connected so closely to the two cities and have spent the first night in both of them. Really, that's a short recap of what happened at the Kotel last night.
Avi, thank you very much. Good Shabbos to you for tomorrow evening. Happy Chanukah. And I'm sure those Nigerians that you were talking about must have thought to themselves, my goodness, we're at the North Pole, because Nigeria at this time of the year is about 45 degrees. Yeah, having lived there myself. So, and normally the traditional Nigerian dress is to keep them cool, not to keep them warm. Avi, thank you very much. And good Shabbos to you. We'll talk to you again next week.